Nay, she has even, as this same doctor claims, upheld and given strength to the scepter of the Orthodox faith. It has been her unremitting concern to see to it that the Catholic faith stands firmly lodged in the midst of the people, there to thrive in its fertile and undivided unity. Many and well known are the proofs of her solicitude, manifested from time to time even in a miraculous manner. In the times and places in which, to the Church's grief, faith languished in lethargic indifference, or was so tormented by the baneful scourge of heresy, our great and gracious Lady in her kindness was ever ready with her aid and comfort. Under her inspiration, strong with her might, great men were raised up, illustrious for their sanctity, no less than for their apostolic spirit, to beat off the attacks of wicked adversaries and to lead souls back into the virtuous ways of Christian life, firing them with a consuming love of the things of God. One such man, an army in himself, was Dominic Guzman. Putting all his trust in Our Lady's Rosary, he set himself fearlessly to the accomplishment of both these tasks, with happy results. No one will fail to remark how much the merits of the venerable fathers and doctors of the Church, who spent their lives in the defense and the explanation of the Catholic faith, redound to the Virgin Mother of God. For from her, the seat of divine wisdom, as they themselves gratefully tell us, a strong current of the most sublime wisdom has coursed through their writings, and they were quick to acknowledge that not by themselves, but by her, have the iniquitous errors have been overcome. Finally, princes as well as pontiffs, the guardians and defenders of the faith, the former by waging holy wars, the latter by the solemn decrees which they have issued, have not hesitated to call upon the name of the Mother of our God, and have found her answer powerful and propitious. Hence it is that the Church and the Fathers have given expression to their joy in Mary in words whose beauty equals their truth. Hail, voice of the apostles, forever eloquent, solid foundation of the faith, unshakable prop of the Church. Hail, though through whom we have been enrolled as citizens of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Hail, thou fountain springing forth by God's design, whose rivers flowing over impure and unsullied waves of orthodoxy put to flight the hosts of error. Rejoice, because thou alone hast destroyed all the heresies in the world. The unexampled part which the Virgin most admirably played and still plays in the progress, the battles, and the triumphs of the Catholic faith make it evident what God has planned for her to do. It should fill the hearts of all good people with a firm hope of obtaining those things which are now the object of our common desire. Trust Mary, implore her aid. That the one self-same profession of faith may unite the minds of Christian nations in peace and harmony, that the one and only bond of perfect charity may gather their hearts within its embrace, such is our prayerful hope. And may Mary, by her powerful help, bring this ardently desired gift into our possession. And remembering that her only begotten Son prayed so earnestly to his heavenly Father for the closest union among the nations, whom he has called by the one baptism to the one inheritance of salvation, bought for an infinite price, will she not, for that reason, see to it that all in his marvelous light will strive as with one mind for unity? And will it not be her wish to employ her goodness and providence to console the spouse of Christ, the Church, through her long-sustained efforts in this enterprise, as well as to bring to full perfection the boon of unity among the members of the Christian family, which is the illustrious fruit of her motherhood? A token that the fulfillment of these hopes may soon be a reality is to be seen in the conviction and the confidence which warms the hearts of the devout. Mary will be the happy bond to draw together, with strong yet gentle constraint, all who love Christ, no matter where they may be, to form a nation of brothers yielding obedience to the Vicar of Christ on earth, the Roman Pontiff, their common Father. Here our mind, almost of its own accord, looks back through the annals of the Church, to the illustrious examples of her ancient unity, and dwells with affectionate regard on the memory of the great Council of Ephesus. the absolute unity of faith, the participation in identical worship, which in those days linked East with West, manifested itself in the council with a strength unparalleled, and shone beyond it with a radiant beauty when, after the fathers had emphasized the dogma that the Blessed Virgin is the Mother of God, the news of their procedure spread abroad from the exultant populace of that most devout of cities, filled all Christendom with transports of universal joy. Every motive which bolsters and increases confidence in the power of our mightier and kind-hearted Virgin Mother to obtain the things we ask for should act as a powerful incentive generating in us the fiery zeal to pray to her, a zeal we would incite in every Catholic heart. Let each one weigh for himself, moreover, how fitting is this practice, and how fruitful to himself, and how acceptable and pleasing to the Blessed Virgin is it bound to be. For possessing as they do unity of faith, Catholics thus make clear not only that they value this precious gift at its true worth, but also that they intend to hold to it with a jealous tenacity. No better way is afforded of providing a fraternal feeling towards their separated brethren than to aid them by every means within their power to recover this, the greatest of all gifts.